This is Believe in Buckeyes, and I'm Brian Browning.
And I am Chimney Chukwa, and this, I'm going to be honest. Be honest, man. I'm wearing all black today for a reason, man. It's it's a mourning day for me, man.
Yeah. I took my chain off. I had my gold pants. I took it off, man. I ain't got no watch. I don't think I combed my hair, man. It's a rough day. It's a rough day here.
I combed my, I put a hat on.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling too good, man. It's, first of all, I'm not used to this.
Yeah.
You know, I just thinking back about it, I came into Ohio State. I grew up in Louisiana.
Right.
I was an LSU fan as a kid.
Right.
I got recruited by Ohio State. I fell in love with Ohio State, you know, through the recruiting process and all that stuff. My first game, actually, I mean, I watched them win the national championship and stuff, but my first game as a Buckeye, you know, like wearing the Buckeye fandom was when they played Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl.
All right. Okay.
And I didn't live through the Coach Cooper years. I don't know what that feels like, man. But now I have to imagine this is kind of what it feels like.
Right. And if you don't know what we're talking about, Ohio State lost the rivalry. They lost the game. Yeah. They lost to Michigan 45-23. So it's in Columbus, we're hurting as a community, as a Buckeye community. We're definitely hurting.
Yeah.
Like you say, you kind of left at the Cooper years. Cooper was known to have really good teams that lost to Michigan and upset things for them.
But the crazy thing, they lost kind of the way that I thought they were going to win.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They lost kind of the way I thought they were going to win. Mm. Explosive plays in the passing game, right? You know, towards the end of the game, maybe an explosive run here or there. Kind of how they've been winning games in the past, right? You know, just being able to out-execute them from a passing standpoint and Michigan's defense not being able to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I thought Ohio State was going to win, but that's actually the opposite. And then Michigan planted the flag on the block.
Man, that's a whole nother thing, man. So them planting that flag, it hurt on a lot of – first off, now obviously the game's over, so it's easy to say that it was a clashless thing to do. We, as Ohio State, have been dominating.
Yeah.
And we never took it that far.
Never took it that
far. It's a tradition that you, when you win, if we're going to the Rose Bowl back in those days, you pull out the roses.
Yeah.
We celebrate with our fans that made the trip up north and had to endure the cold, the cheers on that day. But I just feel like it really was a classless thing for a program that, you know, you would think they would know better. It's not like it was, you know, they was unranked and, you know, it was just the world shocker.
Yeah,
but like they've been a good team.
Yeah, but they've been real disrespectful with this stuff. Like, this is their, you know,
this is Harbaugh's MO.
Harbaugh's comment of, you know, born on third base and thought he hit a triple by Ryan Day. The slick comments at the Heisman, you know, the Heisman presentation last year about CJ and from Desmond Howard and Hutchinson and all that stuff. And I would say, like, they should act like they've been there before, but, I mean, if you look the last decade plus or whatever, I don't know, what, 15 years, 20 years or whatever.
You're right.
They haven't really been there.
They haven't really been there.
Not much, you know what I'm saying? At this point, they're soaking it all in, but it pisses me off.
Yeah, man.
I don't know if I could – I don't know where the team was at that point. I'm assuming they were in the locker room.
They wasn't, man. I seen another angle. There was guys there. At first, when I first started,
so
just
so
like,
do you remember when
it must not have been guys there, but it was kind of guys there.
Remember we lost to Illinois?
Yep.
We were ranked number one. It was senior day, right? Right?
It was senior day.
We lost. We were hurt. We were sad. We were like, dang, we suck. Juice Williams, they're crying and stuff. They got the win.
Yep.
And they go and they start like dancing on the block O or something. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a flag or nothing.
Yeah.
But we like it was a fight. We lost. That's one part of it.
Right.
But you're not gonna disrespect our field.
Our field.
Afterwards, I know you. You know, people are like, well, if you didn't want to disrespect the field, you should have got the win. Well, we didn't get the win.
Right, and that's a part
of
the game.
They can get these hands afterwards. Right. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah, and it's kind of sad because, you know, obviously Michigan been having things back and forth with guys, and you know, we talk about this stuff in their tunnel.
Yeah.
Obviously, what happened to the Michigan State players due to. I'm sure, obviously, for it to get there, Michigan State players didn't just go grab a guy and say, we're going to attack him. It had to be some right, some back and forth there.
Yeah.
But to kind of go there and get so classless, and now, like I say, it looks like the team is mostly gone, and you're seeing guys kind of parting. You know, after the game first end, everybody kind of goes to the middle, and the Illinois situation kind of took off.
Yeah, it was right after.
Right. And it was the same thing that kind of happened with Baker, when Baker planted the flag. Like,
yeah.
You kind of do it once the team is gone. Like, you know, the guys that actually played, or they're either, you know, doing the Carmel High, or they're up the tunnel.
Yeah.
And you guys are just still out there because you're happy you won. Then you go and pull something like that. It's like, if you're going to do something like that, you know, be ballsy enough to do it while our guys are out there.
Well,
like,
those coaches out there, they're out there taking pictures.
Right. Like, you know,
be honest, man.
Do it then. But to pull it then is just, my spouse said that, you know, Michigan is corny. Like, it's a real corny move to pull something that in a game like this. You know, where's the respect factor to it? We never did that. I mean, we didn't beat Michigan out there some back and forth in the media. You shouldn't take it there. And obviously that's what those guys wanted to do. So, you know, that is what it is. We got to live with it now.
So, I mean, they beat us 2 years in a row.
Right.
So at this point, is it crazy to say that Michigan is now the team in the Big Ten?
I feel like you have to say yes, right? I mean, you know, usually, so like you say, in our – let's say, you know, we played college football starting in 2006. The Trestle era started, what, about 2000, somewhere in there. And so, you know, obviously we watched, like you said, I watched Ohio State as a kid through the 90s with Eddie George and Lando Pace and things like that. You probably, as a kid, you wasn't interested in those games because, you know, you're not in Ohio.
No, I watched Eddie George in the NFL.
You're right. So, you know, and I'm younger. So, you know, when you're a kid, you're not comprehending things as you are once you get to that high school level, adult age. You know, now as an adult looking at it, you just don't comprehend it the same. You know, who scored a touchdown? But so far, through our years of really watching college ball, Ohio State has always been the best team in the Big Ten.
Always.
And obviously, we don't always win it every year. Other teams have had good years. But
they're the team.
Right, they're the team.
They're the team.
If Ohio State lose to you 1 year, you just know the next year we're going to beat
like,
you.
It's like Bama right in the SEC. Like,
right.
It's Bama. Bama's not, you know, this year they're not going to win the SEC. But
it's
still Bama.
It's still Bama, right. Know? You lose 1 year game, next year you know you're getting killed.
Yeah.
Last year we lost the game to them, rivalry game.
Oh, my gosh, and you would have thought. You'd have thought, first we lost, then we get them at home.
Get them at home.
Right? They've been talking all that stuff going into it.
Right.
And, I mean, let's be honest. When you look at if you look on paper, we have the more talent.
We had more talent.
So you would think, and, you know, I think the spread was 9 points Ohio State or something like that.
I seen it 7.5 earlier, and then probably with Coron, they probably added some more points.
And they didn't have their best player on the field, man.
It really
looked like it was definitely going to go in the Buckeyes' direction. So I guess what went wrong? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel like overall, I mean, obviously, as we know, there was a lot of big plays given up for touchdowns. So let alone just a big explosive play, they all ended in the end zone,
You can't win like that.
You can't win like that, right? So let alone, you know, Michigan is a good team, right? They're undefeated at this point as well. They're a good team. You give it the explosive plays, and then on offense is like we just didn't do enough to answer. And it could be a numbers of different things that we could talk going. We're probably going to go into on why things didn't click, didn't go for us. But when it came down to it, big plays by Michigan. Looks like on our offense, we just didn't make the plays. So is it play calling, plays being made? Overall, we just didn't do it.
All of the above. So when we went into the game, we talked keys to the game. We were like, you know, we got to win in the trenches.
Yeah.
We got to start fast.
Right.
And offensively, I thought we started fast.
Yep, we did. I was
defensively and offensively, I think we held our own
in the trenches
for most of the game.
Yep, I would say.
And it really just came down to execution.
Yeah.
And defensively and offensively, because we had some drop passes.
Mm-hmm.
Marvin Harrison dropped his first pass of the year. I had never seen him drop a pass before. I didn't think it was possible.
Right.
Right. But defensively, oh my God, man. This is the thing about defense. The thing about defense is there's a lot of things that can go wrong on defense. Right. There's a lot of ways that you can give up touchdowns and all that stuff. However, if you maintain your discipline, you stay true to the things that you prepare for, you could eliminate explosive plays, and you can especially eliminate explosive plays that go for touchdowns.
Right.
Right. That's like the worst thing. If you do anything in a football game on defense, you're going to try to eliminate explosive plays that go for touchdowns. You may give up a bunch of yards here and there, but the one thing that you don't do and expect to win a football game is eliminate explosive plays.
Right.
Now, with that being said, if you look at the plays that were made on Michigan's side, Michigan did not do anything explosive, right? Like, there was nothing based on what they did. Like, even the passes that went for deep touchdowns, they were wobbly passes that hung in the air. It was just really bad execution on our part.
Yeah.
We're going to break down some of those plays a little bit later.
Later in the show,
It's almost a lack of attention to detail. And I don't know, when we lose, you like to place blame. Mm-hmm. I think there's enough blame to go around.
Right.
But there's a lack of attention to detail. And as a player, part of it, I remember when I played, part of it was, coaches always pointing to all these little things. You need to do this, you need to do that. And you'd be like, come on, man, coach. why y'all so stressed out about everything, right? But this is why.
This is why.
And that stuff.
Because it shows up.
It shows up, and it shows up big, man.
Yeah. I think that's something, like you say, like it kind of goes into coaching, right? Like, if you are just coaching a guy to always, like, hey, you have to make it to this gap. We're running this blitz. You have to get over this guy. You have to get over the offensive line, or, you got to get to that gap, even if it's you get there bubble. Like, you're not shooting there. You have to kind of go around the guy to get there. You have to get there.
Right.
You got to get there. But then, obviously, it wasn't stressed enough. it wasn't stressed enough. And like I said, when we kind of go into some of those plays, it's just clear that it's like either a lack of technique and a lack of just grit and toughness of this, I guess, mentally, of knowing where you need to be and actually getting there.
Yeah, mental toughness. And one guy to me embodies all of those things, right? Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, if you watch him run routes, he does a lot of small things that allow him to be consistently great, right? Mm-hmm. He does a lot of things that allow him to be consistently great. Now, if I'm going to talk about coaches and stuff, I got to credit the coaches for that. I don't know how much of that is, Marvin Harrison Sr., right? Mm-hmm. There's got to be some of that.
Right.
But also Hartline and those guys have gotten these receivers ready and prepared to do a lot of those smaller things. Defensively, man, I think it's a lot of those small things that we don't do. And I know fans always harp on the corners or the safeties not getting their head around to make the play. But I will promise you that you don't have to get your head around to make a play on the receiver. I promise you. But you do need to pay attention to detail. You do need to really fight for the ball, and you can't panic. Even when the reality of football is you won't always beat. You won't always beat the other guy.
Yep.
And as a corner or a defensive back, at some times you will be beat. However, they still have to throw the ball. They still have to throw the ball accurately. And their receiver still has to go up and catch the ball under pressure and under duress.
Yeah.
And as a DB, even if you're beat, you have time to get back in position. If you get back soon enough, you can get your head around. If you don't, you can see the eyes get big. You can see the hands go up, and you can punch straight through the hands without running into that receiver and drawing a pass interference.
Yeah.
And I felt like all of those plays, guys were in position well enough to go attack the ball, go attack the hands and get the ball out. And they opted for jumping up and kind of face guarding. And I can't believe that's what's taught. I just can't believe it.
Right. And it, like you say, like, so you got those two pass interference. One happens in the end zone. One is on a Michigan drive. And then in the fourth quarter, you see, I'm blanking on the guy's name, but number zero for Michigan, we're hitting Kay Stover for a touchdown pass, right? Hit him in both hands. Kay has pretty good hands, right? He probably makes that play. But number zero for Michigan, like, he's out of position. He's beat. Dives right through K's hand.
Right.
Gets to the ball, and then it turns to being like a simple catch to being, if he made that catch, it would have been really difficult. He had to show really strong hands, and he didn't make the catch because of a great defensive play.
Great defensive play.
Of a guy out of position, But playing the ball the right way to get an incomplete pass, playing the game? We got to kick a field goal after that.
And that's a contrast. There was two plays. There was one fourth down. It was fourth and two. And CJ throws the ball to Case Stover on the fourth and two. They quick play action fake, throw it to him. I think he had like a DN on him or something. That guy, I mean, he was beat. The ball was a little bit long. K got one hand on it.
Yeah.
The defender just went to make the tackle. K pretty much dropped the ball. CJ had to put the ball right on the money. You know what I'm saying? You had to force him to execute that play.
Right.
They couldn't do it, and a defensive end from Michigan was able to make the tackle, and it was a pass breakup.
Right.
He didn't panic.
Uh-huh.
He's not even a DB. And on that play, that's really the contrast. K Stover, he's open. He's in the end zone. He's open. CJ puts it right on the money, right in his hands. He catches the ball. And the defensive player who never saw the ball,
right,
ever, punches the ball smooth out.
Yeah.
That's defense. That's how you should teach defense. And if K was able to somehow grab that ball, avoid getting the ball punched out, and make the play, all right, you made a great play.
You made a great play.
Michigan didn't have to make great plays to score, which was the most frustrating part of the game.
Yeah, and I have to say this. I know. I hate to do it. I'm not just. I'm usually just pretty. I'm pretty nice to our Buckeyes, man. I mean, I understand there's a lot of goes into it. But I do have to bring up the fact that I feel that the defense wasn't doing well. They was giving up, obviously, a lot of special plays in the first half, second half as well. But I feel like in the first half, we weren't even drives. They were just getting explosive plays for points.
Yeah.
Second half, Michigan did put some drives together that ended with points as well, in addition to explosive plays. But I have to be a tad bit critical of C.J. Stroud. When watching it, you know, in certain games, obviously we know CJ, he was, you know, he's our Heisman hopeful. Obviously after the game like this, we have to see, but you know, I think he probably lost it.
I don't think he's in it no more.
I had to be critical. It's like, you have to come out, figure out a way to win these games. And a lot of times I kind of go, cause obviously this is the game, right? There's nothing left for us. You know, if we win this game, we all our goals are still there. We go to the Big Ten Championship. Chances are we make the playoffs. We lose this game, pretty good chance. Like now that we're hoping that, you know, there's some upsets happen and the committee kind of looks at us compared to some other guys and maybe we go in from there. It gets kind of really muddy, right? But it's all on the line for us. And I know at this point in the season, everyone is nicked up and CJ's known for throwing the ball. But I feel like it was a couple opportunities there where CJ could have just, you know, put his head down. We know CJ's not a runner, but he's pretty athletic, especially for the college game.
He runs good enough.
He's capable.
He runs good enough.
That he doesn't go and make that play happen. Instead of making the play happen, just putting your foot in the ground, getting around the edge, or just stepping up in the pocket. A lot of times he had plenty of opportunities to step up in the pocket and just force the defense to come get him.
Yeah.
While there's essentially a race for the first down. CJ opts to try to make an amazing throw in a tight gap when it's really not there. Yeah. And I know CJ could make those plays, but hey, today is the day we need to win.
Yeah,
a lot of times a quarterback, I feel like the same as point guard in the game of basketball, it's your job to be a leader, correct? It's your job to make plays and get the balls to your playmakers. But over everything, it's your job to win the game.
Yeah, to get the win.
To get the win. And I don't feel like he took it to that next level to get the win and then also get his guys fired up so they know, hey, we can't lose. We got to get this win today.
Yeah, and I almost feel like just having a year where you never really had to. Because I always thought, like, him not running and stuff was cool until we play, like, a Michigan or a playoff
Penn
team
State
where
it's
like, damn, we just need 5. Y'all go get the 5 and let's do something.
Right.
But one of my biggest criticism is just throw the ball to the guy, the running back right in front of you. Just throw the check down. Let's take the check down. Let's take the 4 yards, right? If nobody's open, you drop back, nobody's open, take the 4 yards. If you don't want to run for it, throw it to the running back. Don't throw it to the behind the line, to the edge, like we like to do, and let's move the sticks. But I think my biggest – and I love Ryan Day, bro.
Yeah.
I think he's a great football mind, man. However, I don't know. I don't want to, because what we do in losses, we start blaming everyone.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. That's right.
However,
sometimes it's warranted, sometimes it's not.
There is a radical attention to detail that guys like Coach Tressel, you know, and the staff underneath Tressel Fickell, the guys, Coach Johnson, Coach Haynes. Almost, it was almost annoying at times. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a player, it was annoying. It's like, golly, y'all talk about every little thing y'all get worried about. Like, stop worrying so much. Let's go play football, right?
Right.
Urban, you could just tell Urban has this radical attention to detail, right?
Mm-hmm. You see it, right? You can see it in his face when he's coaching.
And I'm not saying Ryan Day doesn't. However, the mistakes that I've seen last year, even the year before, mm-hmm. last year and this year, this defensively, and I know Day's not the defensive coordinator, he's not the defensive coach, but as a head coach, there's a responsibility of a radical attention to detail, a level of detail that is, okay, we are having this type of issue, mm-hmm. right? We are not able to stop these types of plays.
Yep.
We're going to work on this.
Right.
I don't care what we have to do. I don't care who, if it's the coordinator's fault, if it's the position coach's fault. We're going to add 10 minutes to the period, and y'all going to work on this specific thing, yeah. right? Or this play that y'all can't stop, guess what? We're going to go one versus ones, and we're going to run the play against y'all, mm-hmm. and I'm going to need to see y'all be able to stop it, and we're going to have to, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that level of detail, and I think they focused a lot on the trenches and stopping the run and being able to run the ball, but I thought they needed to.
Yep.
It was great. But, man, there's a lot other little, small, yeah. detailed things that just I feel like are getting overlooked that they need to address.
Yeah, and I know one huge play that a lot of people was upset with after the game. It's a critical time in the game, rather. We're down. It's third and four. And a lot of times I feel like in this game, you know, like I say, we want to be tough up front. We want to do certain things. Yeah. I feel a lot of times on offense, we was kind of shooting ourselves in the foot, kind of almost, I'm not going to call it trick plays, but kind of gimmick plays. Like, hey, we're yeah. going to do something over here, then we're going to try to hit you over here. And a lot of times for Coach Day, that works. But in big, in tight, bigger games with better competition,
You got to line up and do what you do.
And expect your guys to execute the play just basically execute the play to get the job done, for it to be a successful play. Third and four, we try a swing, but basically like a swing pass to the running back. And the defensive end jumps up and just slaps the ball down. And it was a critical time. It's like, damn, it's fourth and four, third and four. We try a swing pass. So even if we complete it, we're behind the sticks, right? We're not there. And then when you watch the offensive tackle, he's kicking back like it's a five-step drop. And if it's a swing pass his direction, you would say, like, so someone is wrong. Either that's not – maybe he don't supposed to throw that swing pass like that.
Yeah.
One. But it looks more like the offensive tackle supposed to keep this guy on the line of scrimmage. He's supposed to either show run, attack him right away, try cut block to get his hands down, and it doesn't happen. And so it falls back to, once again, executing mentally. Yeah. And so a lot of times when you kind of start running plays like that, and I think you could attest to it well, especially on offense, when we start running stuff like that that's a not so common protection, you get a reminder on the sideline. Like, hey, look, we're seeing this. On third down, we're maybe looking at calling this call. Remember, offensive tackle, when we call this protection, let's attack the DN because we're trying to get the ball outside of him or cut him or something like that. And obviously, that did not happen because you see Paris Johnson, like I say, setting back like it's a five-step drop, and the DN basically just lifts his hands up
and knocks the ball down.
And the play is over. You know,
so and that's the level
it's
deep.
It's a one-shot play, got knocked the ball down, it's over.
and that's the level of detail, man, that you have to be able to execute. Yeah. I think about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan did something. He did one signature move he had was this fadeaway.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter how good the team he was going against was, he was still going to do the fadeaway. Everybody knew he was going to do it, mm-hmm. but they wasn't going to be able to stop it.
Right.
And he had like a million different other counters. Kobe the same way. I got a million different other counters. If you think I'm doing the fadeaway or whatever, I can do something else.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, what we do great, it don't matter who lines up against us. We should be able to line up and do this thing great.
Great. Yeah.
And then we got other stuff that once you keep selling out to try to stop what we do great,
right.
we could do everything else.
Yeah.
But I feel like what we did great, this is my offense, being aggressive, right? Being able to pass the ball, move the ball down the field, something that we do great. Mm-hmm. I thought we were able to run the ball a little bit this game.
Yeah, I thought
so too. I thought we did enough in the run game that on third and three, let's line up and throw a pass, do what we do great, instead of swing a swing pass to the outside instead of a pitch run to the outside. It's third and three. It's money down. This is you on first and 10, second down, you're trying to get the third and three.
Yeah.
Third and two, because it's easier to get the first down.
Right.
Line up and do what you do great, because that's what nobody can stop. You got a Heisman Trophy candidate. They can't stop it. We should have been able to throw the ball. If they playing coverage, hit the check down, boom. You can't play coverage deep and play over the top and be able to guard everything short at the same time.
Yeah, I think you brought up a valid point before the show. It's like you feel for Coach Day, right? You said basically due to, I'm going to call it media pressures, right? Because it's only you in the building, right? There's no one else in the building.
Right.
I'm sure it was the only person above him was the AD, Gene Smith. I know Gene Smith's probably not calling Ryan Day, checking on the offense, right? But you brought up a point where you feel that Coach Day is torn between more of an old school style of play and more to the style of play that he likes to go to.
Yeah.
Elaborate on that a little bit.
Are you going to be Ryan Day, or are you going to play trestle ball? Because Day to me, aggressive, right? Aggressive offense. There was opportunities. You saw those fourth downs. That, you know, we're on or third down, we're on their side of the 50-yard line. We decide to punt. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see CJ no, let's go for it. And we decide to punt.
Right.
And I'm like, man, it just seems uncharacteristic of Ryan Day. And I'm like, in the end, you got to be who you are.
Yeah.
Right. And based on who you are, then you got to be able to build on top of that. Right. Mm-hmm. You add wrinkles and stuff. Based on, you know, different things, but you got to at least be able to stay true to who you are.
Yeah.
And I feel like it happened a few other times this year, but I feel like we see Ryan Day, and then he reversed to something else. And I'm like, who is that guy, right?
Yeah.
And then it as a player, it's kind of like this: you start to be uncharacteristic of yourself. Like this ain't who we are.
Right.
And you don't allow. I feel like you don't actually allow the quarterback to get in the type of rhythm that he always is in, because we're not calling the play, we're not playing the aggressive style that we've always played. And I don't want to pile on, you know, after a loss.
Right.
However, if you're gonna be the aggressive Ryan Day, just continue to be. It don't matter if we play Michigan,
right,
Maryland, Minnesota. I don't care what M is in the beginning. Be who you are, and what you do great, we should be able to. We should at least have been able to do what we do great. And I didn't see us do that in that game.
Yeah, so like we say, I mean, obviously, you know, it sucks. We lost to Michigan 2 years in a row. Can't say when the last time that happened. I believe last time Michigan beat Ohio State at Ohio State was 2000. So that's 22 years ago. That's a while ago. But obviously we lost. We're going to have to live with it for a year. I got plenty of family in Michigan. They all hit me up. We don't really talk much. But this week, they find my phone number and they send out messages. So we have to live with it. I know Coach Day tried to put a little stuff in the media, you know, like, you know, and you're hearing stuff like, hey, we had to live with this last year loss, and today's today. And obviously, it was not today. I hear people calling for jobs. I say, let no one off the hook by getting fired. You make everybody stay in the same position, and you just sit with that. You sweat on it. You just let it brew in you that you lost to Michigan 2 years in a row.
They planted a flag.
In your field, and you have nightmares about it until you get it fixed. Like you don't let no one off the hook by putting something else in their mind. You make them keep it.
We gotta bring a flag to Michigan, bro. I don't care. I'll bring it. I'll pack it up myself.
Yeah,
I won't even go to the game.
No, I'm going to the game. I'm going to the Michigan game next year in Michigan, because I'm going. I don't really go to many games.
I won't go. To
I'm
the
going
game.
To that one. I will be there.
But when the clock strikes zero, I will be running through the tunnel and onto the field with a block O flag. Whatever, I don't care how big it is. Whatever I can find, a block O flag, and I am planting that joint in the middle of the field.
It's warning.
And I will deal with the consequences afterwards.
Don't worry. It's not going to be any consequences. At that point in time, we have to earn it. But first thing first, we got to win that game.